Good morning, BK. Good morning. There is a stage chat and an event chat. If you could go to the stage chat and let us know that you are here, it is so wonderful to be with you this morning. Go ahead and type in the chat how you are, where you are right now, and let us know that you are here. It is so great just to be in your presence and be with you this morning. Ayo, good morning. So great to be with you. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in song and just worship as we touch base. And even as we begin this morning, I also just acknowledge what's happening in Jerusalem and Gaza, and I just pray for peace and pray for God's presence to be there, and that peace would come everywhere where there is war and signs of war and just unrest in our country and in other countries. I just pray for God's perfect peace. But once again, welcome this morning. If this is your first time, bless you. You are now family of the Black Church at Yale, and we are happy to be here with you. So I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to lead us forward and go ahead and say hi in the chat. Let us know that you are here. Go to the stage chat and let us know that you are here. God bless you.
Good morning again. We are going to start off our time of settling in God's presence this morning, reading in Romans chapter 8. We're going to read the whole chapter, so hang on. And this week, this weekend, this morning, God has just been impressing on my heart the need to simplify and just keep things simple. I think that God speaks to us very clearly in His Word, and sometimes we can make things so complicated for no good reason. And so I'm going to start reading. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And as we sing and as we are together in his presence this morning, I invite us just to consider, where are you making things more complicated than they need to be? Again, God and his word in many places is very clear and is very simple to understand. But I find for myself that I can spend so much time trying to figure out the things that are unclear that I don't do the things that he says very clearly. And so I'm encouraged this morning just to see what he says and do that and allow the Spirit to reveal those things that are unclear in his time. One of the songs that we'll sing this morning is the hymn, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And I have a hymn book that tells a little bit about the history of these hymns. And for this song, it says, Robert Lowry, who wrote this hymn, wore many hats. He was a professor of literature at Bucknell University for a while. and he served as pastor of churches in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. He liked to write music for gospel songs, and he worked with Fanny Crosby and others as a lyricist. Occasionally, he would write both words and music, as he did for the triumphant Easter hymn, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay," and this one, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." There's a simplicity about this tune. It has a five-note range. The basses have only two notes to sing, and the guitar players, or ukulele, have just two basic chords. But Lowry might say that it is simple because salvation is simple. We try to complicate it, to add more chords and harmonies to it, but salvation is really nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so as we sing these songs this morning, let's think about the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of salvation, the simplicity of God's invitation for us to repent, to turn from our sinful ways, to come to Him, to receive His love, and to walk according to His will, that He may be glorified. Good morning.
All my righteousness.
thank God for sending his son to live and to die and to shed his blood on the cross, that our sins could be atoned for, that we would not have to pay the ultimate price. And this next song just sings of Jesus as the one who is holy, as the one who is anointed, the one who is risen and exalted. And so if you're not familiar with it, it's fairly simple. But feel free to just listen to the words, to soak them in, and to just have a talk with God, asking him if there are things that you've been complicating the gospel with, complicating your salvation with. The song we just sang says, it's not of anything that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus through which we are saved.
Water to my soul. God, we thank you for the simplicity of your gospel. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And you love us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross and to pay our penalty, the one that we deserved, for the sins that we have committed, the sins that we may be committing in this very moment, the sins that we shall commit. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for living, for dying, for shedding your blood on that cross, and for rising again with all power, that we may rise with you as we accept your love and your gift. Please help us not to overcomplicate things, but to read your word that is our lamp and that is our light, and to do the things therein that we understand from you to do, relying on your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of the things that are less clear. Please have your way in this service, that we would connect with you, that we would connect with one another, and that we would leave this place looking more like you, going out into the world, sharing your love, reflecting your light, and causing others to desire to come to you for themselves. Please have your way this day and every day, in, around, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Lady Rochelle, for leading us in song and worship, and just thanks to our God. Family, it is wonderful to see you and to be with you. I just praise God for the opportunity to be in your presence, albeit remotely. I invite you now, for those who are visiting us for the first time, welcome. We greet you in the name of Jesus. You are family now, so welcome. Great to be with you. And I invite all of us to experience our meet and greet time that we call Love Assault. And it is our opportunity to love on each other and to assault one another with love and not with things that are unkind. So please go to the networking section and go ahead and greet each other. The system will ask for permission to share your audio and video. You can grant it permission. And then later, if you want to turn off your video, you can. And please return here 11:30 a.m. Okay, family. Okay, family. I hope you are back in this virtual room that we call the stage. Once again, it is just great to be with you. If you are back, go ahead and put in the chat, I am back. And I know I didn't give you much time to connect, so I apologize for that. Just want you to begin thinking right now what maybe are some prayer requests and some praise reports that you want to lift forward. At this time, I am remembering Israel and other places where there is great hurt that is happening in other countries and also in our country. And I think about that, and we can lift that up in prayer, and as well anything that you have. So it is, once again, just great to be with you. And I celebrate all of you who are, I celebrate everyone. And I also celebrate you who are pressing forward as you enter into this part of the semester, coming down the final stretch. Some of you have perhaps finished your coursework. I know other campuses and other places have graduated, but here on our campus, you're entering into your finals and you're completing your final assignments. And I just pray God bless you, God be with you in all that you do. So, okay, you are back, and we are going to move forward and press ahead. Repeat after me. This might be familiar now, but repeat after me. Push ahead. Push ahead. We are continuing and in part three of our series, and this will be a familiar introduction to you, but we're talking about pushing ahead. And the Israelite people in our text, the Jewish people, who are the children of the person Israel. Israel was also named Jacob. And this is the family that is of the lineage, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're going to read about them in Exodus chapter 33. They are generational recipients of a divine covenant. God cut this covenant with their patriarch Abraham. The children of Israel are beneficiaries of a divine promise that was made in a moment, but this promise is realized through a process. The promise requires a journey to fulfill. There is a process to receive this promise. In our text, the Jewish people, the Israelites, the children of Israel, are in their journey from bondage in Egypt to freedom, but yet to enter their promised place of rest with God, their promised land. Similarly, today, we who are of faith in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, we are in journey. And we look forward to our rest in God, being grafted in to the family of the people of God. The author of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 9, lets us know that there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And so our opening text is Exodus chapter 33, beginning at the first verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you. And I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you along the way. For you are a stiff-necked people. Verse 12. Through verse 23, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses said to God, please show me your glory. Verse 19, then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, God said, you cannot see my face, For no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Reading again, Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, and Moses said to God, please show me your glory. Say with me one more time, push ahead. Request more of God's presence. For the time that we share together, family, I want to speak from the theme, push ahead. Request more of God's presence. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this moment. We thank you for the opportunity you are allowing us to enter into your presence. Even now, you are where I am. You are where your people are, even in our individual and separate places. You are the omnipresent God. You are not inhibited by time or space or geography, but you are all places, knowing all things with all power. God, I thank you for the opportunity you have given us to break the bread of your word. And I pray that you will feed us until we want no more. God, help us to see you more clearly. Help us to see ourselves more clearly. And God, above all things, help us to leave here changed, looking more like you. Not more of ourselves, but more of you. God, do in this moment all that you purpose to do, even in spite of me. I am your servant, God, but quiet me and you speak up. Sit me down and you stand up. God, I thank you for this moment. Anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet to preach and teach your word as you have called me. Anoint your people to hear and receive and do your word, all to your glory. Have your will and have your way in this moment. We thank you so much. We need you, God. We need you, God. We need you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This introduction will be familiar for some of us, but in every life, in every journey, in every race, in every adventure, there are moments of transition. From not in it to starting. From beginning to entering the halfway point. From progressing to entering the last mile. For those of you who are beginning your finals period, you are entering the last mile, the final stretch. Whatever stage you are, whether you are about to begin, whether you are entering the second half, whether you are at the midway point or in the final stretch, the transition zone, the crossover moment, is a critical period in your life. It does not matter what the experience is. The transition zone, the crossover moment, is a critical period because it is often there that things stop or progress. It is often here that things are lost or won. It is often here that things grow or shrink, are affirmed or denied, are bought or sold, canceled or renewed. I draw your attention to this critical period because it is often, it is sometimes the place God reveals himself to us. The enemy is often active, trying to wear you down along the way, even before you get started, such that when it is time to transition, you bail out, you don't show up, or you take and make some critical decision that is against your best interest. It is true that momentum is a leader's best friend. That momentum is a visionary's best friend, a journeyman, a journeywoman's best friend. For momentum is the wind at your back that helps you to push forward with less effort. The more momentum grows, the less effort needed to do that same job. And conversely, it is true, a decrease in momentum necessitates an increase in effort to do that same job. So while momentum in your life is a good thing, momentum is also something to be stewarded. Think about riding a bike. You may pedal to get started, but at some point, the bike may continue without a similar need for you to pedal. However, many of us learned quickly, or maybe not quickly enough, that what is required is steering. You steward the momentum by steering, by channeling, by harnessing. So this transition period is one of motion. It's movement in time, if nothing else. The transition period is also a place of exchange, the place of renewal, the moment of clarification. It's here that I exchange old habits for new habits, old patterns of thought for new patterns of thought, relationships that don't serve me well with relationships important for the new leg of my journey, broken beliefs with critical confidences. I exchange what's holding me back for what will propel me forward. It's here that I renew. I renew my commitments, my convictions, my strength. I restore my appetite to proceed. I renew my covenant relationships. It is here that there is clarification of who I am, of who God is, of who I am of in Christ. It's clarification of my purpose and clarification of potential, of the promises that will be fulfilled, of the nature of the journey, meaning what is the next, the new leg, and what will it require of me, and what will it require of those around me, and even clarification of who those are who are not with me and will be against me. The transition period is a place of exchange, of renewal, and of clarification. Push ahead. Without question, where you are going next requires a push to get you fully into it. Hannah, when she is riding her bike, I try to teach her that if she is going from no movement being stopped, she might have to give herself a push and then start pedaling. When she is riding and comes to a bit of an incline, I tell her that she has to keep pushing those pedals to keep going up. Coming down off an incline and entering a straightaway, the momentum coming off a decline will carry you, but only so far. The coasting will slow, and when Hannah wants to continue her progress to the end, I tell her to keep pedaling and push to the end, for you are almost home. Push. Today, whatever stage you are, whether you are about to begin at the midway point and are entering the second half, or you are in the final stretch, push to get and keep going forward. Moses in our text knows a thing or two about taking a journey. Moses knows a thing or two about making a transition. Moses knows about pushing through and moving forward. Today I want to continue with you a conversation using part of Moses' life for our learning. Say again to your neighbor, push ahead. Go ahead and virtually touch two or three people and say, push ahead. Put their name in the chat, push ahead. Push ahead in God's presence. Family, there are three lessons or three messages in this passage that I believe God wants for us to know, that I believe God wants for me to share with you, that I believe God wants for me to know. And I'll give you the third one today. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. And Moses said to God, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. For the remaining time together, I want for us to speak about requesting more of God's presence. Requesting more of God's presence. Family, at this point in our text, at this point in Moses' life, I think it necessary, I think it my duty to point out that Moses has already experienced a lot of God. Different than and more than anyone else in his present company, Moses has had and is currently having interactions with God that are privileged and uncommon. Now is a good time for me to remind myself and to remind you, do not take God's presence for granted. Do not mistake any divine privilege or access we hold to be an even exchange for what we offer God. Scripture says that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And while we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Christ died for me. Moses has experienced a lot of God. Moses has experienced the burning bush. Moses has experienced and was even instrumental with plagues in Egypt. Moses has experienced the parting of the Red Sea. Moses has had mountaintop experiences, conversations with God. In Exodus 33:11, it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." Moses has a relationship with God that is rather special. Moses understands that God knows Moses by name. And Moses understands that God offers his grace to Moses. I want to take this moment, family, and pause and just mention that it is one thing for God to have thoughts toward us. But it is quite another thing for you to be aware of and to know those thoughts. And it's another thing for you to embrace those thoughts and internalize those thoughts and live from those thoughts. The author of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 19, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." And I recognize that our ability to come boldly through the throne of grace is based on what we know of God and what we think about how God thinks of us. Moses explores and he uses every inch of his relationship with God. And if we contrast that with King David, for those of us who are familiar with his story, King David who walked into adultery and more, God's reply to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, and I'll just lift up verse 8. God says to David, "And if that had been too little," he said, "I gave you all these things, and if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me, and what I would have given you, living water." Family, if only we would know our God. If only we would know God as God truly is, and if we would see ourselves as God sees us. In Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus is repeating, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you, your children, together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Family, I just pray that we don't resist God wanting to gather us, as a mother hen gathers her chicks, and that we would be willing to be in the presence of God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. In the text, God has just guaranteed Moses that God's presence will go with the children of Israel. Moses says, God, tell me, who will you send with me? And God has said, my presence will go with you. And Moses elaborates, and God says, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, because you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. The very next words out of Moses, seemingly almost before God's words finish coming out of God's mouth, Moses slips in his request, and then Moses is silent. In verse 18, Moses says to God, please show me your glory. The King James Version that I was raised on says, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. When I read this, I thought, oh no, Moses, no, you did it. But yes, Moses, yes, you did. Have you ever needed? Have you ever wanted, family? Have you ever wanted and needed more of God? It's a spiritual desire. Your flesh is never going to desire more of God, but it's a spiritual desire. Meditating on Moses' life has me wondering why at times I settle for a deficit in awareness when I could ask God for more of him. Please, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Notice what is different in this request, show me your glory, from the request we touched upon last week. Today's request, please show me your glory, is not conditional. Moses is not being conditional. He's not edging towards an ultimatum. If your presence does not go with me, do not bring us up from here, is what we saw Moses share last week that was conditional. But here, Moses is being vulnerable. God could say no. Moses has no genuine leverage outside of God's favor and God's goodness. Family, what happens? What happens if God doesn't do it? Moses continues forward as planned and as agreed. Part of me understands Moses' request, recognizing that Moses gave up everything he thought to be safe in order to do God's work with God. Moses went from hiding to public declarations. And now God has him out of physical bondage, but not yet in safety. Not yet in the safety that they are looking for. They are in an in-between place. And as we can see, an in-between place with God and humanity can be dangerous. It put Jesus on the cross. The other part of me recognizes that Moses is in the best circumstance in his life that any person can be, because God is with Moses. Say to yourself, when God is with me. When God is with you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. When God is with you, who can be against you? When God is with you, no one can pluck you out of God's hand. When God is with you, he will raise up a standard before you. When God is with you, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But Moses, like a child who recognizes that daddy is having a good day, advantageously and even wisely asks now for what he wants. Like a child recognizing that mommy is having a good day and now it is just the right time to push the envelope, Moses asks, please show me your glory. What really is Moses asking? What do we know about God's glory? Number one, we know that God protects his glory. Isaiah 42:8 and 48:11, my glory I will not give to another. The second thing we know is that Jesus reflects God's glory. John 1:4 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And number three, we know that God generously displays his glory. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Ezekiel talks about, and the whole earth shone with his glory. What does Moses know about God's glory? Moses has experienced enough of God's glory to know that there is more to see and to experience. I'm always a suspect of people who say they know God but seek to put God in a box. The more you know God, the more you know that you don't know the entirety of God, and the less you are willing to put God in a box. Moses looks at the road ahead, and Moses knows that what got him here will not get him to the end of the journey. And so Moses yearns for a spiritual boost, or a divine boost, if you will. One theologian says that the glory of God is the manifestation of divine attributes and perfections of God. And so God responds to Moses. In Exodus 33, verse 19, then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. In some ways, I'm shocked at God's favorable reply. But really, I should not be, because God loves to show us his glory and to proclaim to us his name. In fact, all of creation around us speaks loudly and profoundly of who God is. God cares what you call him. God's name matters to God. And in verses 20 through 23, it says, but God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now the Lord descended in the cloud. This is Exodus 34, verse 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and the sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. So Moses made haste and bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. Then Moses said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. When Moses experiences God, Moses doesn't just receive a show. God's recital of his majesty. Moses doesn't just receive a presentation, which would have been great all on its own. The experience marks Moses. Moses comes out different. Moses comes out changed. What happens when God shows you his glory? If we look at the text, when God shows you his glory, you learn God's name. When God shows you his glory, you learn God's nature. When God shows you his glory, you learn God's standard. When God shows you his glory, you learn God's righteousness. When God shows you his glory, you learn that you are with God. Your plea, your presence, your preferences, your desires are amplified and clarified when God shows you his glory. And the scripture points out to us that Moses' heart is changed. Moses is more humble. And the glow of God rests upon Moses. Verse 29, now it was so that Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands. And when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Family, there is something about experiencing God's glory that leaves you never the same. Our bodies are imperfect and our flesh is sinful, yet God's glory leaves a mark. And this is our closing prayer. God, please show us your glory. Let us never be the same. God, we pray that you would change our heart, that you would change our mind, that you would change our attitude. God, change our compassion. Help us to know you more. Help others to get a glimpse of us. Help others to get a glimpse of you while they are looking at us. God, as we close our time together and as we close this portion of our series where we talk about pushing ahead, but pushing ahead in your presence, God, I pray that you would give us more of you. God, we pray that by your Spirit, you will prompt us to request more of you. And it's not even just about us desiring more of you. God, the reality is we need more of you. And so, God, I pray that you will show up this week and even this day for your daughter and for your son. For your man and for your woman, God, I pray that you will show us your glory. That you would help us to see you in a way that we are changed forever. Help us to be marked in a way that Moses was marked. That our heart is not lofty and haughty, but we are bowed down and humbled before you. And that causes us to plead and to ask you for more of you. God, we have more in this journey to go, and the reality is we can't go without you. It's not worth it going without you. We're not going to survive without you. So God, I pray that you will accompany us and help us to walk with your presence. God, we thank you so much for this time, and we thank you so much for this people, and we pray that you will help us to push ahead. I invite Lady Rochelle to come forward and to lead us in our closing song as we make our virtual circle. We've come this far by faith. And family, as we sing this song, I ask you once again, what are your prayer requests? What are your prayer requests? What are your praise reports? Please begin to put those in the chat as they come to you. And we will close out our time together after our song in prayer. Just celebrating God for what he has done in your life, for what he is doing now. And we will celebrate God for what he's going to do. And we will pray that he will continue to make a way as only he can make a way. So I'll just give you a moment and ask for you to think about your prayer requests, to think about your praise reports, to give God the glory due his name, even as Lady Rochelle comes forward and begins to lead us in our closing song, We've Come This Far By Faith. That is our testimony. We have come this far by faith, and it is how we are going to continue to move forward. Thank you, family.
Leaning on word, he's never failed me yet.
Amen. We are thankful for what God is doing in each of our lives. We are thankful for his hand upon us. Family, I recognize that this is the end of the semester, and I will let you know what our plans are for next Sunday, even as it's time for graduation and it's graduation weekend. We are coming to the end of BK spring semester. It's just so great to have been with you. Thank you very much for putting your prayer requests and praise reports in the comments. Please feel free to continue to do that. We do praise God for the final assignments that have been submitted up to this point. We praise God for, I like what Marvin said, allowing us and allowing you to make it up to this point in the semester. Amen. And the prayer requests are for endurance and confidence to finish strong. And we pray for God's grace. And we pray for Rebecca's prayer that she mentioned for stewardship, good stewardship, and just divine stewardship of our time and our money. God's grace and favor and wisdom for Rebecca as she looks for housing in St. Louis and everything else that comes with moving and relocating. And we continue to pray for God's grace to carry us through to the end. And as well, we pray Rebecca's for her sister's plans and her cousin looking to be married. We pray that God's hand would be in that relationship and also be with the family as they process this big decision. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for your hand upon us. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I surrender any and every bit of intellect, anything that is good thoughts according to this world, God, and I pray for myself and I pray for each person under the sound of my voice that we might have your wisdom, that we might have the mind of Christ, that we might have your thoughts. I pray that you would give divine understanding for every work that is to be completed, for every relationship that is to be navigated, for every decision that is to be made. God, give us your wisdom, give us your wise counsel, and give us your perfect peace and full joy even as we navigate all these things. God, I thank you for your hand upon us and how far you have brought us so far. And I thank you that the journey is not over, but we will continue forward with you in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. God, do all that you purpose to do for your people. Bless them even now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for all those who are going to come to know you through them. Do for them all that you purpose to do for your glory. And we will not give it to another, but we will give you the glory that is due your name. God, have your will in your way. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Family, it's great being with you. Thank you so much for our time together today. I'm going to go into the sessions section and go to the hospitality table if anybody just wants to stop by and say hi. It'll take me a minute or two to switch devices and get there. But God bless you this week. Our Lord go before you and keep you until we meet again. Bless you, family. Have a wonderful day and wonderful week. Amen.